You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. I hope you are going to have a good day. Today is Wednesday. Got to get up with Hup. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, and will get done because you will do it. Yeah, beautiful day here in the Atlanta area. You know, very nice day. Going to be in the 70s. For those who are up north or out east, say, you are where you are. You know, and I is where I is. And I, where I is nice so far. You know. But hey, the weather, because of what these Caucasians have done, these greedy son of a bitches, the weather is tenuous sometimes at best. And that's real, and you know it. And it's going to get worse. It is going to get worse because these people aren't doing what the scientists said for them to do about 30, 40 years ago. That's how long ago they've been sounding that alarm that if you keep using fossil fuels, you keep doing what you're doing, then these conditions. And I mean, when I read that article 30-some years ago, I'm sitting at the firehouse. I tell you, when I read that article and what they said could happen it is being materialized. It is happening. And some say it can be reversed. But if you're not doing things right now that should do to get it reversed, it's not going to happen, is it? No, it's not. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But whatever search engine you use, you know, whatever it is, put in the search. BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, and once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled for you to listen to. Other programming we have here on Time for Awakening Media, on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban, and sometimes Dr. Kamal Kamban. Dr. Kamal Kamban was a constant listener when he's back here in the States, and he's supposed to be coming back, and that's great. We'd love to hear talk with him. I thought, as always, a good brother. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, today is Wednesday, so at 8 p.m. this evening from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, from 7 to 9 on Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We buy black. WeBuyBlack, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. That's right. Go on the website. And also to donate, please, to the possibility of them gathering up enough money to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And then once this happens and the other ones will go into other areas where we have a sizable community, sizable number of our people, maybe, if hundreds of thousands of us and maybe a million, depending upon what the city is, and we'll have another store there. And we keep building them. Our farmers have outlets to sell their products. Other brothers and sisters who are making products have an opportunity to have an outlet to sell their products. It's all about doing for ourselves. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba, who has been taking our people to the motherland for many years, since 06, over 500. His next tour is May 24th to June 5th in Ghana, $3,800. Then November 17th to the 28th to Tanzania, $3,800. Then Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2023, $4,000. And then March 31st to April 10th, 2023, to Senegal and Gambia, $3,800. Also, too, please check out the website. You have possibilities for investments of buying land in Tanzania or buying land in Ghana. And, of course, he has the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community in Ghana and so many other things, everything you need to take a trip, not necessarily even with him. If you're going to go to Africa on your own, it's all on that website. The visas, the all that stuff, all the information that you're going to need. Brothers and sisters, Africa for the African. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. All right. Africa for the Africans. HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. The mission of Habashah is it's a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org. And, of course, the Kashi Project, which is underway constantly and being, in fact, launched. The Kashi International, October 8th through the 17th in Ghana, West Africa of this year. The Kashi Project. Brothers and sisters, you should see the work that they have done, the beautiful buildings they have built. Brothers and sisters, go to HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE program. Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE was formed to continue into traditions of Malcolm and Marcus Garvey and many others to bridge the social, economic, and physical divide between Africans all over the world. Africans in the diaspora sit in strong economies with capital and no resources. Continental Africans maintain resources but no capital. This produces a lose-lose situation for both groups. African resources are taken, refined, and sold back to Africans. The fortunes earned on both sides don't benefit either of us. The LEDGE group bridges this gap. We produce projects, models, and partnerships to enrich both groups at once and change this dynamic forever. We do not have the audacity to think small, that's right, and nor do we have the time to waste. Time is of the essence. The LEDGE group, they work in the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. In fact, if you are a member, you can buy land for $250 an acre in Tanzania. LEDGEGroup.org. Abibiatumi. Abibiatumi. ABIBITUMI.com. Abibiatumi.com.
And every time I put the website up, I'm always having some problems lately. I can't maneuver it if I have it in this group. And it says, Paige, I'm responsive, wait. And I hit wait. And, well, it comes up, but I can't move it. It has great warriors. It has Sister Nandi. It has this, since this is Women's Month, you know, they have Sojourner Truth, Isabella Bumfrey. They have Sister Armenti. And Sister Armenti is Harriet Tubman. They have Ida B. Wells. That's the only ones I can see because I can't move the page. But, of course, this is Women's Month. But brothers and sisters, go to abibitumi.com, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Smai Pharmacy, Smai Pharmacy, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Smai Pharmacy. Brothers, give our good brother, Brother Jabril, a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Smai Pharmacy. If you want to email him, go to smaipharmacy@gmail.com. Smai, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y@gmail.com. Smai Pharmacy. Check it out. Okay. Okay, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. I'm not sure they're going to be open yet, but I'm quite sure they'll be sending that information out when it happens. But Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, delicious smoothies and health food drinks and pastries and wraps and so forth. All the good, and they have vegan food for sale on the weekends on Saturday and Sunday. And they're located in on Ralph David Abernathy, 878 Ralph David Abernathy. And the number to call is 404-444-1635, 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Sister Mama Nia. She is, I mean, really beautiful, beautiful place, a beautiful woman. Sister Nia, Mama Nia, give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. They have a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and all kind of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My brother Gazimde Ajamu of Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar located in Lithonia, that is east of here off of I-20 and on Main Street in Lithonia. Give my brother a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Afroletics, they have a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Just the next exit after where the Black Dot is Turner Hill Road. Exit off of I-20, Turner Hill Road, and make a right. Three lights, make another right, and on your left will be the new Black Wall Street Market, where they have many stores. My good friend, Brother Sajifo, Brother Saj, he has his jewelry, and he has artwork in the store right there in the new Black Panther. The new Black Wall Street Black Panther. The new Black Wall Street Market, as well as Afroletics here. And my good brother, Michael McGee Jr., he has his CBD oils and so forth in the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow night is their Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Or you can call to listen to the program or give questions, comments, or concerns at 9 p.m. tomorrow night by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village and Gift Shop, Brother Abijah in Macon has a beautiful store located 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. He has everything. He's a one-stop shop with all kinds of stuff, furniture, clothing, oils, books, CDs, DVDs. He even has a restaurant, a vegan restaurant. That's right. He has it all. So give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. In Macon. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, please give my good sister Shelly Armandset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sister Gabby, Gabrielle Aurelia, who's doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Brothers and sisters, go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay, dash, Haiti. And yes, brothers and sisters, Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah have been doing great work with our young people, educating our young warriors, which we so desperately need. So, brothers and sisters, support Akabin Institute. Send a check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use PayPal, go send it to yahbaruti at yahoo for PayPal. If you want to use Cash App, the $ yah. M. Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your contributions one time or continuously. Whatever you feel is on your heart to do, because it is definitely necessary. And, of course, he's a prolific writer. He has a new book out and a course, Identity, Cultural Ceiling, Society, and Person, Frontline Concepts in African-Centered Psychology. New book. For all the other books that he has written, go to akabinhouse.com, akabinhouse.com. And once again, Baba Rudy, who is a prolific writer, you know, they're right there for you. Right there for you. Yes, brothers and sisters, he has a course. Starts today, March 2nd, the Identity Course. And it's a four-week course. Each Wednesday, from the 2nd to the 23rd, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. For adults, it's $60 for the course or $20 per class, which, of course, you save $20. For youth, it's $45 per course or $15. Okay, but if you want further information, you can contact Baba Baruti, Mwalimu Baruti at yahoo.com or 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. And but if you want the course, of course, including your pertinent information, identity course, your name, and your email address so they can send you the link. All right, brothers and sisters, I'll promote it again because anywhere you might want to jump in is still all good, even though it starts today. Okay? All right, family. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. Okay. Blessed are those who struggle. March 1st. Blessed are those who struggle. Oppression is worse than the grave. It is better to live for a noble cause than to live and die as a slave. The Last Poets. Nation building starts when individuals and their families develop their knowledge base and talents and join them with other like individuals and families. From these, increasingly larger extended families, communities will form. Because we recognize the immensity of our struggle to regain ourselves as African people and the forces which quickly materialize against any highly visible undeveloped massive nation building effort. We know that we must start small and sure. We recognize that public advertising, mass organizing, loud voices, and flamboyancy have done little but serve individual egos and set us up as easy targets for imperialistic predators. Therefore, we know that if we are to be successful in this critical endeavor, we must quietly do the work of building the foundation of a nation that will close ranks gradually over the coming generations. It is no secret that this will be a difficult struggle. The wisdom of Africa teaches us that when a stick is bent too far in one direction, it will have to be bent even further in the other direction for it to be again straight. So if we are to do this right, we must value the lessons that came through the weight of many generations. It will take time our families come back to a nation. It will take turn. Our families will come back into a nation. Affirm, I am intrepid nation builder, patient. Affirm, I am an intrepid nation builder. And we must be. We must be. Yeah, we must be. Inye Sesem, and today is March 2nd. We have our thinkers, our visionaries, our revolutionaries, and even our African sovereignists. We must not be afraid to listen, to think, and to act. We must honor them. Marimba Ani, my good sister, my good friend, Mama Marimba. The successful outcome of our nationalist movement is sovereignty for African people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interests, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether aliens or traitors, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-respecting, and self-empowered. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, African sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. African sovereignty is our ultimate goal and only solution. Affirm, I listen to, think about, and act accordingly to the thinking of our frontline visionaries. Affirm, I listen to, think about, and act accordingly to the thinking of our frontline visionaries. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, the Inye Sesem. I hope everybody's doing well. This is the second day of Women's Month. There are great women in our history. I know I'm going to make a highlight Frances Cress Wilsing, and I'm going to go through and see if I can get others. I might even redo the presentation I did, I think, for the radio about 2 years ago on great African warrior women. You know, because when we talk about Women's Month, we don't just talk about sisters here in the States. We talk about sisters globally, on the continent, throughout the diaspora. We honor them, all the sisters. We honor them. I mean, you know, like, you know, there's one sister, I love her quote, you know, Fannie Lou Hamer. I know, not just, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, because I know we sick and tired of being sick and tired. But the quote that is so emotional to me is that never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. I love that quote. Never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Knowing who you are and where you came from and giving honor and reverence and respect to those who assisted you, those who helped you, those ancestors, those elders, those contemporaries, giving honor. You didn't do it by yourself. Love that quote. I do. I really do. Yep. So, yeah, what are we going to talk about? Oh, I know what we're going to talk about. First, we are going to talk about the Ukraine and what's happening in the Ukraine and how it relates to African people and the number of Africans that are there that are getting dogged out. In fact, today's program is We Have No Friends. You know, I've said this, and this is a Dr. John Henry Clark quote. You know, he said, we have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in a mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. Not that you have a nice hairline or, you know, cleft in your chin or dimples in your cheeks or your eyebrows, the arch of your eye. None of that. Like who you see. That dark skin or that high yellow skin, whatever it is. You as an African, like who you see historically, like who you see culturally, like who you see that looks like you, that shares culture with you, history with you, traditions with you. So, like who you see. Yeah. So, yeah, we have no friends. Yeah, Brother Paul sent me a litany of good stuff on what's happening to African people in the Ukraine and how we're getting dogged out, how we're beginning, you know, disrespected. I mean, you come to the train station ready and you constantly being pushed back. There were some brothers, I'm going to play one of them, who were on a bus, I believe, or on a train. They got kicked off. You know. But this is nothing new, and I know we've talked about this has happened, you know. This has happened. So with the time we have, we're going to talk about this documentary that's been on Showtime. You know, this documentary that's been on Showtime is and I tell you, everything's going to be all white. Everything is going to be all white. And I tell you, I watched, because they offered three segments of it, about an hour long. And I'm going to play the trailer in a minute. And I watched it. Then I looked at the reactions. And man, not only crackers, which I knew would not like this, because this is all still about same thing with the challenge of so-called critical race theory. Basically what it is a challenge of the history of Europeans and their what they have done to deal with African people. And so this documentary pretty much, you know, does that as well as exterminate all the brutes. I mean, they have a terrible damn history as it relates to people outside themselves. And as a consequence, what you see today, that they don't want to deal with nobody. It's all about them. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is global. It is a global phenomenon, and it has caused people who are melanated to behave in certain ways and many times to identify, like the Stockholm syndrome, to identify with their captors. That's why many people who are melanated want to bleach their skin.
And if you watch this piece and you, or you go onto YouTube, that's where I got it from. So just go on YouTube, put in, you know, put in, everything's going to be all white. And you also get some of the reactions from the Caucasians. I could see that. There was a couple I listened to from the Caucasians, but this one from this sister just turned me on, turned me off so bad. I had to turn it off. And the one brother, I listened to him, you know, but one thing that I deducted, that these brothers and sisters who negatively are critiquing this and hate it, because I know the Caucasians gonna hate it, is putting their history up in their face. But for those Negroes or those blacks, and you see, that's why I continue to call for us not to call ourselves black. Make a distinction. We are Africans, because that's the fact. We're not black. But see, those brothers and sisters are black. Because to me, being black, and I know I could get some, you know, pushback and so forth, and I know there's a number of people. I had this discussion with my dear friend, Brother Baba Renoko Rashidi, you know, a few times. Because I want us to be specifically African. And I want us to put African. In fact, when you're talking about us being here in America, Africa is the noun. Africa is the noun. There's a word that goes in front of the noun, and that determines what kind of African you are. We're American African. If I was in Jamaica, I'd be a Jamaican African. If I was in Brazil, I'd be a Brazilian African. If I was in wherever, I'd be that African. In Ghana, Ghanaian African, Nigerian African, Cameroonian African, Azinian African, well, that's South Africa, if you don't know the name of what is really called Azinia, you know. And those things, and that's the thing, those are the words we should use. We're African. We're African. And just as I read about what Baba Baruti wrote, how we should just be real cool. We got. I don't know if we have generations to do this. I don't know. Because as demented and evil spirited as Europeans are, and everybody else that hates us and wants to displace us, displace us and take our resources. When the Chinese want to put 300 million of their people in Africa, and already they've taken some projects that they have built for certain countries because the countries could not pay on time or pay period. I don't know. They took those projects. We have no friends. And so when you if you get a chance to, and I hope you do, go to it's on Showtime, if you have Showtime or other streaming device that you may have, if you have, you know, whatever streaming you have. But you also can go to YouTube and you can check out the document, at least the first one, and many other reactions. Do that. It's sickening. I could only do so much. And this one sister I had, I think her thing was like a 20-minute reaction to a critique of the documentary. I could only go through about few minutes, you know. Because, and one could argue, though, no, they're not self-hating. You know, they're not Negroes. They're black. They're black. And to me, like a Stephen A. Smith, like a Roland Martin, like so many others, like Smokey Robinson, don't want to be African. They want to be black. What it is they want to be white in blackface. They like their blackness because in their blackness, they're cool. They, in fact, they might want to live in an all black enclave, just like here in Atlanta. There's many of them here in Atlanta. Subdivisions, cul-de-sacs, gated communities that are all us. They're all us. And yet, none of us pulls resources. Because why? We black. And being black in America is like being white. And what is white? Individualism. Individualism. Materialism. Greed. Violence. That's what white is. That's what America is. Capitalism. You praise capitalism. I got mine. You're a Christian. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, you're blessed. You're highly favored. Your community is going to hell. Your family's going to hell. There's all kinds of dysfunction. But, oh, you are blessed and highly favored. This system, brothers and sisters, if you have to live in it, maintain your sanity. Maintain your sanity. Continue to look at, listen to, read what it means to be African. What it means to be African. Watch TV about what it means to be. I know they had some programs on, and I know they had the NAACP awards and all this other, you know. And to me, if the root of something is not right, if the root, that's why the NAACP has been totally ineffective, because of its root. That's what other organizations that's supposed to be about us, because from its root, it was rotten. It was not rooted and grounded. I stated the other day, some of these things that we're involved in from the 60s, organizations of Black Panthers, I read about the Black Panthers and a few other things, they weren't Pan-African. They did not have an African component. They strictly were designed to change the dynamics in America for the betterment of us. Just like the, when I watched the Newark, New Jersey riots of 67. They just wanted a piece of the pie. They didn't necessarily want to integrate. They just wanted a piece. We want our little piece, our little black piece. And of course, they got nothing and like it. You'll get nothing and like it. Because that's the mindset. You'll get nothing. And you better like it. You know, the centuries that we have been here, and you can still see that the Caucasian behaves and acts the way he does today. The centuries that we've been here, the mindset of the Caucasians is still the way it is today. And like I said, I was upset. No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I expected it, but I was just like, man, you know, these Negroes who profess to love us, they don't. Their whole thing is they want to get a piece of this rotten ass pie. That's what's happening. So let me play this, and I want you to, because we're going to talk about this probably next week. You know, we got to talk about some of this documentary. Everything's going to be all white. Everything's going to be all white. Because in the Europeans' mindset, it is.
What annoys me most about white people is when they pretend like they're the victim. What's also annoying is when they, you know, when they kill us.
What is fragile about whiteness when everything has been constructed around it?
Every part of who I am has been distorted or criminalized.
It's really just a bunch of white lies.
We're storming the Capitol!
You're not patriots. You're ridiculous.
one of the definitions of American whiteness is ignorance.
White people, we are not your problem. You are.
Should white people today feel any responsibility for slavery?
Hell yeah.
White Jesus or black Jesus?
Jesus was not white.
Think of geography.
Ain't no way Jesus walked around with blonde hair and blue eyes.
White culture fears the end of the world. For us as Native people, the end of the world already happened, like, multiple times.
Symbols and monuments, these are mementos of racism.
Bring us after that. What about TCBY yogurt or something everybody can get behind?
The truth has to be told about history.
We have to make sure that these stories are told from our perspective.
There's always hope. You know what I'm saying? We don't give up.
It's about obliterating systemic and institutionalized racism.
Wild place, y'all. It's a wild place. I know Harriet and Frederick be up there just like, what is they gonna do?
Yeah, check it out. Like I said, the YouTube piece, you know, the YouTube piece, you can get the first episode of it, you know, and then check it out. And then if you do that, look at the reactions. Check out the reactions. Like I say, this, you know, and one Caucasian is so happy that only a small group of people liked it, put a like on it. Small. Well, literally hundreds of thousands hated it, gave it a thumbs down. And of course they will. Once again, you know, this is historic information that is being presented about what they have done. And they don't want it. They don't want to be confronted by it. They don't want their children, their school children, to learn about it. And in fact, there's a piece now, and not just for small children. They got a piece now that talks about some laws in some districts, I guess, that says if you don't want to learn about this history of those who you dogged, I shouldn't say it like that, but that's the truth. Those who you dogged out, if you don't want to learn that horrible truth, you can opt out. You can say, no, I don't want my child to be a part of the black history programs or the Native American history programs or any kind of things that would upset her or him. You know, once again, in the immortal words of Colonel Nathan Jessup, in the movie A Few Good Men, which is really a dynamic court scene played by Jack Nicholson, the attorney questioning him is Kathy, played by Tom Cruise. And Kathy, who's grilling Nathan Jessup, he says, I want the truth. And Jessup says, you can't handle the truth. They can't. They can't handle the truth. They have a terrible history of plagiarism. Remember, I read to you the other day about Mary Lefkowitz, you know, who wanted to maintain the idea that Greece developed on its own all the things that Greece. And I remember when I said that, I remember a good brother I had a conversation with, back in the late 60s, early 70s, he had gone to school. I was still just getting out of school. So probably was the early mid 70s. And he was talking about Greece and all the things that Greece created and the father of this and the father of that. And so I didn't know at the time. And I'm like, really? Okay. Yeah, man, Greeks. You know, the theology, the mythology, the Greek myth. Oh, man, just wondrous. These people are just, their minds are so great, you know. But then not only did they do that, but they co-opted the idea that the Greeks, that the ancient Egyptians were them too. After all, they did, after studying at the feet of African people, Socrates, well, you know, they, prime example about his ass, they made him drink poison when he came back to Greece. Said, you bring all these foreign concepts, but he studied at the feet of African people. Plato saw what was happening, and he cut, you know, he cut out and stayed in Kemet for, I don't know, maybe a decade or two. Yeah. And then he came back to great philosopher Plato. And, of course, Aristotle, who was Alexander, the so-called great's advisor. I can use mentor towards that, because it was probably that. That was probably happening. Because in that story, of the reason why we don't use the word mentor, we use the word jegna. Jegna. Because mentor in the Iliad, in Homer's Iliad, who is given the responsibility of watching over Telemachus, Ulysses' son, was sexually abusing him. Because there's a history of Greeks as it relates to homosexuality and pedophilia. No. Their history is disgusting. Plagiarism, murder, thievery, robbery, you name it. Debauchery. Through the ages. Not just them. The Romans. The medieval time. Or, you know, when they were land poor, resource poor, and people poor. All of it. Till today. And how it has affected humanity. Somebody sent me a nice piece on, you know, this Caucasian woman who wants to be a man. She had hair, so she might have been taking hormones. And this guy says, we need to understand, what does it mean to be a woman? What it means to be a man historically. Physiologically, you know. But you see happen to many celebrities, their children, or some make it that way. That's why Felice Sharon, the Caucasian, who's from Azania, Southern Africa, she adopted two boys and changing them into girls. Because if my son at a 2 or 3 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, came to me, I'd get him the help that he needs. Because he ain't going to be no damn girl. He's not a girl. Well, that's, Brother Oshi, that is innate. No, it is not. I remember in that debate, and I got to get ready to go to a break, because when I come back, we're going to, talk about how we're treated globally, particularly right now with this conflict, about how we are just so disrespected. But of course, you who are a conscious person, you understand that. So you ain't tripping about that. You don't think that's unusual. You think that's par for the course, you know, because that's what happens to us. It's been happening that way. Because why? We have no friends. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. And of course, this is Brother Gary Taylor, Women of Color. This is Women's Month. Try to pick up some more nice cuts by women, about women and so forth for the month. Because I know one thing about me. I love sisters. I told this one brother, a friend of mine, I'm tired of dealing with them. I'm going to go to one of those sites, you know. I said, man, I would deal with the last sister on earth before I ever go to somebody outside of us. The last sister on earth. Bottom line is, how willing are you to work with one another, to trust one another, believe in one another, to respect one another, ultimately to love one another? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All over.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report this evening. The day is Wednesday, so from 8 to 9 this evening, the Black Farmers Report. On Friday, if it's 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's Friday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today about the fact that we have no friends, and I mentioned this so many times. We have a number of people in the queue. I hope you want to have some conversation about this. If you do, hit star twice. Hit star twice, and we can have conversation, or just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And if we got somebody here. Yes, Atlanta. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hey. Yuhuru, my brother. Ah, it's Research West, y'all. Research West. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm still out here trying to take down these devils. They coming down. Hey, look here, man. I sent you something on what Smokey Robinson talking about.
When did you send it? Recently?
I sent it a few minutes ago.
Oh, a few minutes ago.
Check it out.
Okay,
When you see here, when you hear what Smokey say, bro, you're going to change your mind on what you think about it, man. But look at here. Me and you had this conversation before about individualism. Them devils stick together, man.
Sure.
They want us to be individuals. They stick together, man.
They come together. I mean, they even said that shit. I don't know if they really said it for real, but to me, the implication was we may war amongst ourselves, and they do. They're a very warlike people, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us, and that's what they've done.
Most definitely. I told you an experiment I did on this job where I worked with this one white devil, and so I start talking bad about another white devil, and that devil wouldn't say nothing bad about his white brother, bro. You would not do it, man. I put my shit in theory, man. But see, Osha, right now, like I told Dr. Fox yesterday, all this jaw jacking now, I'm back. I'm like Brother Ray. I hope he called in. I was Dr. King Driver. Me and him, like he said, if they hit me, we hit back, man.
Okay,
that's how we got to be, like Ahmaud Arbery, man. All this fearful shit is scared. You got to defend yourself, man.
Got
no
to.
Matter where you at.
That's right.
That's where I'm at now. I'm tired of jaw jacking. But you know what? You remember a show called Hogan's Heroes? You remember that show?
Sure.
Nazi camp. Yeah. With my man Ivan Torres, man. I think that was his name.
Ivan Dixon.
It's like we.
Ivan Dixon.
And see, to me, we just like Hogan's Heroes, man. Just wanted to identify with the press and laughing and joking instead of realizing we at war, man. We prisoners of war. I ain't no damn slave. I'm a prisoner of war on this planet, man. Okay, do we realize that, bro? And all right now, we at war, man, and all general orders in effect now, man. So people realize that. Like, this damn so-called Supreme, that judge that he was nominated, Ketanji Jackson Brown, whatever, got, excuse me, man.
Yeah, I hear
then
you.
Then you look at who she married with, man.
Yeah.
She number the damn Oreo, man.
Yeah.
An Oreo.
Yeah.
Black on the outside and white on the inside, man. I'm sick of these damn Oreos with this mammatitia, man.
Meritorious man, you missing. I like that one. Right on, Research West. Meritorious man, you missing.
Yes, sir. That's what it's all about. Being a junkyard dog oppressor, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm sick of him. Bro, I looked at this movie, what's that? Two movies. What's that? The one with the Tim Cavity, Buffalo Soldier, where that Native American told Danny Glover, why in the hell is you an ex-slave and you going to fight the damn slave master Walt, man?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stupid shit? And then I looked at my man, Birth of a Nation, Nat Turner, man. That's them two movies right there, bro.
Yeah.
Because you go to the Griot Channel, they got it free, man.
Okay.
The Griot Channel.
The Griot Channel.
The Griot Channel is owned by Baron Allen.
Okay, okay.
So I don't like, even though he's an Oreo too, but he want to keep it in the family, man.
Yeah.
He said he was in the damn room when Barry Gordy sold Motown, and he was in the back of the room. He said he started crying because he liked to keep our stuff in the family.
Yeah.
Even though he married to a white woman, man. But anyway, man, it's our time with the fight, man. We at war now, man.
That's right.
All this old shucking and jiving BS, man.
That's right.
And when one of these Negroes get tucked out for being with the oppressor, that's on them. Okay, because I ain't fighting a damn war. Because there ain't going to be no nuclear war. I got on first-hand information, ain't going to be no nuke, man.
So let me say this, brother. I swear I hope so. I hope it's not. Because we all through. You know, with all this saber rattling that Putin is talking about, putting his nuclear wars on standby or on the ready. And, of course, you know, just like Biden said, no, I'm not even worried about that because they all know that's crazy. But if it happens, because the Soviet Union has more nuclear warheads than any country. And, of course, next after Soviet Union is United States. After the United States, it's Israel. Even South Africa has some. Other countries have some. India and Pakistan. There's nuclear weapons across this world. And if they start flying, they all going to start flying. And it's
over. Ain't gonna be none, man. They had their one chance when they did that in Japan. Believe me, I got first-hand information.
Okay.
I ain't gonna tell you where I got it from. If I tell you, you'll say that nigga don't know what he's talking about like y'all all do.
Right,
so
on,
I just
man.
Take it like that. I ain't gonna go no further. Okay. I'm gonna let somebody else talk, man.
All right, dear brother.
I tried to call Monday, but you had all the interference going on, bro. I thought you was on another planet somewhere.
Oh wow. Monday. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
It's all good. It's okay. All good, my brother. I let somebody else talk to. Take out that thing I sent you about smoking, man. It'll change.
Oh, believe me, I will. You know I will. I'm going to talk about it.
All of us are trying to get free, man. So I don't really knock no brother or sister that's trying to figure out how to get free.
Mm-hmm.
But if they laying up being an Oreo, then I ain't got no respect for them, man. But if they...
Yeah, because, I mean, you know...
We all try,
but you know, there's a number of brothers that... who I admire and respect to a great degree, wound up with Caucasian. Amoco Cabral, Sheikh Anta Diop, who's to me is a brilliant man. You know, he had a Caucasian. I mean, there's a number of them, you know.
Yeah, see, I look at this war genetics, man, because the more the devils lay up with us, they just go screw their stuff out of existence.
Yeah.
The baby's going to come out with nappy ass hair and hopefully got a black perspective. So it's working for us, man.
All right.
So I look at everything. I look at war, all kind of perspectives, man.
That's right.
It's all working out now. We'll
breed them out of the existence like the fear that Francis Crest Welsing said that they have. They fear genetic annihilation.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. I talked to a sister in Liberia, man, from Liberia.
Uh-huh.
She was telling me about how Liberia is, man. I meant to ask her if you got to take that jab to go over there, man. That's why I got to. I got to get out of here where I see only black people running stuff. But she told me that's why it is in Liberia. But anyway, man, to be continued. I'm gonna stay.
All right, Wes.
I'm gonna fight anywhere I go on the planet, in the universe, anywhere. Fight for us, man.
Right on, Wes.
So we gonna get it. Oh yeah. One more thing. I saw this video, this Eyes on the Prize, when Dr. King and them was marching from Mississippi, Memphis to Jackson. And the Mississippi State Trooper told him to get out the street, and he pushed Dr. King, and he also pushed Kwame Ture. Kwame Ture was about to jump like a pit bull. Dr. King had to grab him, man. You saw that?
No, I didn't, but I can imagine, because that wasn't Kwame Ture to turn the other cheek. That's why he got out of it.
Dr. King had to grab him, man. I love my folk, man. Some of us ain't taking this shit. They ain't scared, man.
Right.
I'm going to be quiet before I start cussing. And I love you, man.
You too, dear brother. You too. You have a blessed day, man. Talk to you in a minute.
Thanks,
Wes. Peace. Research West. That's right. I'm going to definitely check that piece out. I mean, I saw that piece. If it's the one that's on from The View, I haven't seen that. I just heard about it. But he reiterated what he said in the Deaf Poet piece from the HBO series. You know, when he came on there, I think Most Deaf introduced him and he pulled that out. And when he said that, man, it kind of hurt me, man. It really did. Because that's what I understand for us to be. It's the ultimate. It is the end game for us to recognize our Africanness and embrace it and to be one as African people, not black. Because black, you being black and me being black ain't about shit. Because we ain't going to do nothing together. I got mine, you get yours. And that's the mentality of it. That is the mentality. That is the attitude, you know. So, all right, let me get to this. Get to this. This is a piece that we're going to play this piece. Africans face racism in the Ukraine. And there'll be some other ones that we're going to play. And to get you to understand that, and it was already on the national news. It was on the, a reporter mentioned it. And Lester Holt of NBC National News made some comments about it. Although it was played on ABC National News, there was no comments about it, but it was mentioned about how Africans are disrespected and pushed to the back, or even there's one piece I'm going to play to where they're kicked off the train, you know. But that's the reality. That is the reality. Here we go.
They say wars do not make men great, but they do bring out the greatness in good men. War may bring out the worst in human nature, and that is what is happening in Ukraine right now. As the Ukrainian war escalates and as more Russian troops keep gaining ground, most people are finding themselves in a precarious situation where they have to leave Ukraine for the neighboring countries. And African governments have requested neighboring Poland to host their citizens who have been living in Ukraine. But there seem to be a problem. For Africans who made the long trip from the eastern side of Ukraine, from cities like Kiev and Odessa to the Polish border, using their own resources, they are now being denied entry. They are not being seen as refugees like the rest. They are being seen as asylum seekers. Many black Africans stuck in Ukraine have reportedly been refused entry into Poland. Several people have reported that Ukrainians are the only ones being accepted in many cases. Inside Ukraine, things are getting even worse. There's racism openly playing out in broad daylight. There was this particular video where Africans were being refused entry into a train taking people from Ukraine to Poland. Africans were forced to wait for all Ukrainians to go first in several trains and had to wait until the last Ukrainian had boarded trains before they would be allowed to get into one.
These are the black community. We are not allowing any black people to enter inside this. We are all here. It's only Ukrainians that they are allowing in. Even the ones with kids,
they're not allowing them in. They really have been here
for days, and nobody's asking any questions. Only Ukrainian woman and kids they're allowing in through this gate. All the place is blocked, and all are full of blacks from different communities, from different countries. Nobody's talking to us. These are the black communities. We are not allowing any black people to enter inside this. We are all here. It's only Ukrainians that they are allowing in. Even
and no free rides. They are paying for their own train tickets, but they are made to wait for almost the whole day until the last Ukrainian has boarded, before they are let or they are allowed to board those same trains. And once they get to the Polish border, another drama begins where they are made to wait and denied entry. This kinda reminds me when COVID-19 started in China, how black Africans in China were treated back then. It seems there's never a safer place for a black African. I'm even more scared that if World War III happens, Africa and Africans will bear the brunt of that war. Kindly, in the comment section below, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. Once again, we have no friends. We have no friends. You know, we leave Africa because of how Africa is, how the governments are, how the people are, the poverty, the lack of infrastructure and technology, all those things. It has all the resources. It has all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. It could feed itself. There's no reason for poverty. There's no reason for hunger and starvation. Yes, there's some areas because of climate change, particularly in the Horn of Africa, in the eastern portion of Africa. But there's areas that are ripe. And it could provide food literally for the world, let alone for the brothers and sisters on the continent. That's why unity. This is happening because we don't have it. All the things that are happening is because we don't have it. One thing that I know that the European fears most is Africans coming into their right mind and then being able to unify to do for themselves, coming into independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, which is the end game. You know, people talk about the end game. What's the end game? I ain't gonna play that. I was gonna play that one about the European Ukrainian who says that yes, even the blue-eyed blonde hairs, and yeah, let's be real. It is who they are. You know. Yeah. So let me play this one here. This is when they're on this plane, excuse me, on the train, and some of them are getting kicked off, you know, so we'll.
They are dragging Africans off the bus. They are dragging our people off the bus. African students are being held at gunpoint in Poland, at the Poland-Ukraine border.
Yeah. But said, we are innocent. We come here as students. We try to get out less like everybody else. You know, thinking it would be. I understand the women and children. But to me, if you have guests in your country, like you have guests in your home. But once again, There's no respect for African life. There's no respect for African life. And that's been something that has been a fact for centuries now. No respect. But at one time, brothers and sisters, there were. At one time, brothers and sisters, they came to sit at our feet to learn the basic disciplines of knowledge. Oh, yes. There was a period of time that people came from far and wide. And even that, we traveled. Once again, please check out the documentary, Great Pyramid K. K stands for Kemet. The year that it would hit the market and finally produced was 2019. Great Pyramid K, 2019. It tells you who built the pyramids, who built the Great Pyramid of Khufu at the plateau, and how it was built. They came to sit at our feet. Now nobody wants us in the vicinity. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let's have a conversation. And what's on your mind? And once again, this is Women's Month. And I gave you that quote by Fannie Lou Hamer. Not the one I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, but the one where she says, never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. It's a beautiful quote, dynamic. 267-267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie, Brother hey. Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. How you doing, Brother Ralph?
Man, I can't complain, Brother okay. Oshie. I'm just going to say something real quick as relating to your subject. I saw a few clips where the Indian government went in there with buses and took their people out and said, like, and made a way of escape for their people.
Okay.
Where are the African governments?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. African governments?
Well, see, the African governments being where they are, logistically, could they bring buses or even planes or anything into Ukraine with the situation the way it is? You know, India is tied to the same landmass, which is the eastern part of Europe, you know,
right.
And they could go, you know, over the mountains and so forth and get into the Ukraine and then take their people out. But, you know, the only salvation for Africa, for the Africans that are there, is hopefully that the people in Ukraine and the neighbors of Ukraine, be it Poland or whoever else, will allow them to come in, and then they can move from that place back to their home.
Because, man, the only thing I'm seeing the African government doing is complaining about the way they are being mistreated.
Right.
Like it comes at some surprise. When this first thing first came down, went down, I'm like, I see some of us pray for Ukraine and all this. I'm like, come on, man, here we go again.
Yeah.
Just like pray for France. And France, I mean, it's the
remember
same
that?
Damn thing, brother.
Man, I tell you, when that shit happened, man, I was so angry because knowing how France is and what France has done, particularly the Africans, talking about praying for France because they had that terrorist attack. What was it, about 5-6 years ago? Man, I was so upset with us. I was like, people had the French colors and so forth. Now they probably have the yellow and gold of the Ukraine colors. And, you know, I know we're, for you know, loving people, but damn, this is ridiculous.
You know, the thing about it, we got to lower our expectations and raise our acceptance, man. And we got to accept the fact that this is who this is. And, we talking about the African students get kicked off the bus. What about the Boulé and those Negroes being kicked off of Biden's bus last night during his speech?
Oh, is that right? I didn't listen to it, man.
Oh, man. I ain't listened to it either, but I heard a lot of them crying and complaining about where were we at. I mean, he ain't say nothing about our condition. Well, we told you that when he was running against Trump.
Right.
We told you that. So I'm glad that these folks is getting a wake-up call. I mean, it took some time. You know, one brother, he came in after me on Sunday talking about, well, you know, we all, you know, a lot of us have to learn and the information is not available to us. And this, no, a lot of us make conscious choices to do what we do. And then when it don't work out like we wanted it to, then we want to cry and complain about it, man. But no, man, no more excuses.
Nah.
We got to. No more excuses. It's enough out there for you to lower your expectations and raise your acceptance that this is the world we live in.
And let's do something for ourselves. Yes. I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yes, Ralph, I agree. Because it's been here all the time. But we always have these illusions and delusions. It's been here all the time. They've been constantly telling us that all the time. But we keep trying to make them. Appeal to them and beg them, plead with them, pray for them, whatever. Shit.
Man, I know, you know what I mean? Our boy Elliot, he was like coming down on me, man. Like, you be listening to those stations that be getting our people. I said, yeah, so I know a way to combat it.
Yeah.
I mean, all I did was listen to these stations this morning, and they were crying. The same folks that said, we got to get Trump out, this, that, and the other. We got to. They were in tears, crying. And, I ain't feel bad for them. I said, well, when you wake up to reality, sometimes it is painful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave you with this little cliche, Brother Oshie.
All right.
And it should be for all of us. Lower your expectations and raise your acceptance. And I'm going to leave you with
that. I like that one, man. I'm going to write that down. Lower your expectations and raise your acceptance. Right on, Brother Ralph. Peace to you, man.
All
have
right,
a good
man.
Day.
You take care,
man. All right, brother. Peace. Yeah, lower. Yeah, lower your expectations. Yeah. Yeah, send me that, Ralph. I didn't get a chance to write it down, but send me that, man, you get a chance to. That's I like that. I'm going to use that. Yeah, give you the credit. You know, the Ukraine situation is this. Here's a brother wrote a piece. In Facebook, and you, probably some of you may already have it, but it's just like this is the hood term about what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia crises, in simple terms, for those that have no idea what's going on. This is the hood version. Ukraine used to be in an abusive relationship with Russia, feeding him, letting him use her car, giving him whatever he asked for until she built up the confidence to call it quits back in 1991. Since then, Ukraine has been working on herself, becoming a strong, independent woman with help from friends like France, America, Poland, etc., offering her support, lending her money, and helping her find her way. Ukraine has been enjoying being single for 30 years, and looking forward to continuing to grow and create new friendships. Yeah, in fact, this is the serious side. She's said, you need to fast act me into the European Union. You know, put me right away into the European Union. Now, of course, what that will do for Ukraine is that the European Union's defense forces, not just NATO, they'll be able to access. Now, Russia, being the toxic ex that it is, wants her back and doesn't want her meeting with new people or creating any new relationships. A couple of weeks ago, Russia stated and started sitting Russia started sitting in front of Ukraine's house. Isn't that what they did? And it is. And when her friends asked him, what was he doing there? He said, oh, nothing. Just getting a little bit of exercise in, and that's all. They ain't doing nothing. After her friends told her that Russia was potentially getting ready to do something bad to her, he said, they're lying. They just want you to be scared of me. And that's not what it is. Yesterday, Russia broke in into Ukraine's house and started beating her up and taking advantage of her while on live stream and double dog daring any of her friends to do anything about it. And if they want the smoke, Russia's got the thing on them. See? and even threatening to use nuclear weapons. Yeah. That's the hood version, the succinct version about what Russia is doing as it relates to Ukraine. Yeah. It's Women's History Month. Or is it Women's History Month or Women's Recognition Month or just Women's Month? And to me, if it's Women's Month, it's African Women's Month. So we're going to be talking about that, put together something, you know. Lower your expectations and raise your acceptance. I think that's what it is. I can remember that. That's a reality. Because it's not, we believe, we put hope in prayer, believing that somehow. I remember I said that to a brother. I said, I have zero faith at all in this country doing what's right. It constantly has shown us that. And today you see it clearly with the Republicans doing what they do in terms of voting. They can't win a straight up election. They can't. With the ideas that they have of conservatism. Do you know what it means to conserve something, damn it? To keep has it? I mean, I want to conserve it. I don't want to be progressive. I don't want to be liberal. I want to conserve what I have. I want the old way of me dominating and ruling. I want to conserve that. And there's a bunch of Negroes who go with that. Just like in that history piece I just told you about. Everything's going to be white. And people are mad at it. American Africans, no, black people. Black people. These are black people. They mad at us for making this kind of program. Oh, it further divides us. This is what further divides us. By exposing the cracker for who and what he is and what he has done, this divides us. Oh, really? No, it's been divided, and the divisiveness has been them from the beginning. Because we always begging, we always praying. I bet you any money, I'm just betting you some money here, and I think I'd win this bet. Dylann Roof. If there was a brother named Dylann Roof, he couldn't have gone up into a European Caucasian church Bible study and not been, "Well, what's going on here? Who are you? What do you want?" He was allowed, because we're so giving and so accepting, to come in and sit down. He just wants to pray with us. So they thought. That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen to a Baptist church that is Caucasian or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Methodist or whatever, Christian church, Catholic, whatever. He could have done that. And then turn around and shoot 9 people, kill them. He want to start a race war. Now, you know, for me, there are some things that are possibly inevitable, But see, to me, we don't have to lift a goddamn thing. Excuse me. All we got to do is change our minds and get the hell up out of here. And get the minds right of the brothers and sisters on the continent to accept the reality of us working together to build the infrastructure, to control the land, to control the resources, and make anybody who wants anything pay for it at fair market value. Did you ever hear the Sister Malance from Sierra Leone, from that TED Talk? Never forget when I first heard it. It just captivated me. Her voice, very melodious, just smooth. Yeah. I'm going to play that again one day. It's because it's damn it worth it. You know? Yeah. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, this is who we are. This is who we are. We ain't black. We don't, you know, I'm not naive, okay? I'm not naive. I know the majority of our people behave in this way. I know. But I'm thinking positive about us as African people. I got to. Our future is at stake. Our very lives as a people are at stake. About a few months ago, I read a piece talking about, no, there is no overpopulation. And in fact, when you have a population size, you do more things. Your economy is better. All kinds of good things happen that way. But yet, when you have these Caucasians talking about population control, when you had one of them damn dudes from England, I think it might have been Harry, or what's the other one's name, whatever his name is, talking about, yes, Africa is overpopulated. We, you know, their lands and so forth and the animals, and no, we have to do something about that. That's why I'm very leery. That's why I didn't take the jab, brothers and sisters. That's why I didn't. Because I don't believe them. I didn't tell you not to do it. I told you not. I told you to let your conscience be your guide. Get as much information you can. I had one brother that I did a piece, and I put that on there a couple times because he was saying some righteous information as it relates to coronavirus and the importance of vitamin D and other things that you can do. Because I don't trust these men. I don't trust them. And we should not trust them because they've proven not to be trustworthy. Dr. King was mad at the fact that these Caucasians kept going against, because he's telling the people that this is what's going to happen. These are good. This is gonna, and they kept doing it. They kept going back on that word because they're liars. And so people said, Dr. King, now you go ahead. You bleed that shit if you want to. We're talking about black power now. We're talking about reactionary. We're talking about revolutionary. We're talking about something different now. Oh, boy, do I wish that movement had some African-centeredness in it. It'd be a whole bunch, it would have been a lot different. That movement, unfortunately, didn't. Once again, it was about black power. It was about us having as much money as white folks in their stuff. The money, they want the money. The money's theirs. I just seen another piece about somebody putting somebody on these folks' money. Oh, Henry Louis Gates. Talking about putting Frederick Douglass on some money. No. And they're talking about, I think, by the year 2030, Harriet Tubman's supposed to be on the 20. Now, is Andrew Jackson that overtly racist son of a bitch, murderous son of a bitch? Is he still going to be on the money? One thing I read about a few years ago, that she was going to be on the front and he was going to be on the reverse or on the back. Man, she would be rolling over in her grave. Now, we our face on the money, we still ain't got no money. Collectively. Oh, yeah, there's a couple billionaires. When I found out there's 700 billionaires, the most, and then China has 600, there's only a few thousand billionaires in the world. And right there, between China and the U.S., they have over half the billionaires. I hate the monetary system. I do. 2,000 people have more wealth accumulated than hundreds of millions of people. Hundreds of millions. Caucasians, as a collective, have more wealth than many other so-called ethnic groups or cultural groups in the world. And they ain't sharing a damn thing. That's one thing that I learned. They are adamant against redistribution of wealth. They're adamant because Caucasians collectively are adamant against it because they believe that they too can inherit X amounts of wealth, hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth, or they can find a way that they hit the right idea or the right technology or whatever, that they too can have hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth, if not $1 billion. The people who had that serious amounts of wealth, of hundreds of billions, made so much during these last 2 years of this pandemic, while people lost their jobs, people lost their businesses, people were destitute, people were sick, people died globally, and these so-called billionaires accumulated much, much more wealth. The ones that we know about, of course, Branson, Musk, Gates, you know, Zuckerberg, a few others, billions and hundreds of billions of dollars. Oh, man. Got a few more minutes. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And join the conversation. It's being Women's Month. I'm going to try to find a way I can check out the other three or the two of, you know, Everything's Going to Be All White. Everything's Going to Be All White. I definitely ain't looking at none of those reactions no more, especially by nobody, because all of them were against the documentary. And they jammed up Showtime for doing it and playing it. You know. And you had these black folks who were so adamant against it. I'm like, shh, man, you people. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you. Yeah, I tell you, it's a damn shame. It really is. It's a damn shame. Yeah, here is Smokey Robinson. So if you never heard this, here is Smokey Robinson on being introduced by Mos Def.
In this country, I think it's a shame that every few years we get a change of name. Since those first ships arrived here from Africa that came across the sea, there were already black men in this country who were free. And as for those who came over on those terrible boats, they were called nigger and slave and told what to do and how to behave. And then Master started tripping, doing his midnight tipping down to the slave shacks where he forced he and great-great-grandma to be together. And if great-great-grandpa protested, he got tarred and feathered. And at the same time, the black men in the country who were free were mating with the tribes like the Apache and the Cherokee. And as a result of all that, we're a parade of every shade. And at this late day and age, you can be sure there ain't too many of us in this country whose bloodline is pure. But according to a geological, geographical genealogy study published in Time magazine, the black African people were the first on the scene. So for what it's worth, the black African people were the first on Earth, and through migration, our characteristics started to change and rearrange to adapt to whatever climate we migrated to. And that's how I became me, and you became you. So if we're going to go back, let's go all the way back. And if Adam was black and Eve was black, then that kind of makes it a natural fact that everybody in America is an
Deaf Poetry, please give it up for Smokey Robinson.
Sorry about that, family. Oh, I tell you, I'm having a little difficulty here. I'm going to, how much time I got left? How much time do I have left here? I apologize. Well, I'm having a little difficulty here. And this is the one from Deaf. This is the piece from Deaf Poetry Jam. As I said, Most Deaf is introducing him. Man, I hit something, man. I done something. See, that's what you shouldn't do. Yeah. Plus, the two, I got to hold my microphone up to the speaker, but we got enough time. We got enough time. So here we go. Let's try it one more again. Okay, there we go.
For Smokey Robinson. Deaf Poetry, please give it up for Smokey Robinson.
I love being called black. I love being an American. I love being a black American. But as a black man in this country, I think it's a shame that every few years we get a change of name. Since those first ships arrived here from Africa that came across the sea, there were already black men in this country who were free. And as for those who came over on those terrible boats, they were called nigger and slave and told what to do and how to behave. And then Master started tripping, doing his midnight tipping, down to the slave shacks where he forced he and great-great-grandma to be together. And if great-great-grandpa protested, he got tarred and feathered. And at the same time, the black men in the country who were free were mating with the tribes like the Apache and the Cherokee. And as a result of all that, we're a parade of every shade. And at this late day and age, you can be sure there ain't too many of us in this country whose bloodline is pure. But according to a geological geographical genealogy study published in Time magazine, the black African people were the first on the scene. So for what it's worth, the black African people were the first on Earth, and through migration, our characteristics started to change and rearrange to adapt to whatever climate we migrated to. And that's how I became me, and you became you. So if we're going to go back, let's go all the way back. And if Adam was black and Eve was black, then that kind of makes it a natural fact that everybody in America is an African American. Everybody in Europe is an African European. Everybody in the Orient is an African Asian, and so on and so on. That is, if the origin of man is what we're going to go on. And if one drop of black blood makes you black like they say, then everybody's black anyway. So quit trying to change my identity. I'm already who I was meant to be. I'm a black American born and raised. And Brother James Brown wrote a wonderful phrase. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Because I'm proud to be black. And I ain't never lived in Africa. And because my great-great-granddaddy on my daddy's side did, don't mean I want to go back.
Now, I have nothing against Africa. It's where some of the most beautiful places and people in the world are found. But I've been blessed to go a lot of places in this world. And if you ask me where I choose to live, I pick America, hands down. Now, by and by, we were called Negroes. And after a while, that name was banished. Anyway, Negro is just how you say black in Spanish. Then we were called colored. But shit, everybody's one color or another, and I think it's a shame that we hold that against each other. And it seems like we reverted back to a time when being called black was an insult. Even if it was another black man who said that a fight would result, because we've been so brainwashed that black was wrong till even the yellow niggas and the black niggas couldn't get along. But then came the 1960s, when we struggled and died to be called equal in black, and we walked with pride with our heads held high and our shoulders pushed back, and black was beautiful. But I guess that wasn't good enough, because now here they come with some other stuff. Who comes up with this shit anyway? Was it one or a group of niggas just sitting around one day? Feeling a little insecure again about being called black and decided that African-American sounded a little more exotic. Well, I think you were being a little more neurotic. It's that same mentality that got Amos and Andy put off the air because they were embarrassed about the way the characters spoke. And as a result of that action, a lot of wonderful black actors ended up broke. When we were just laughing and having fun about ourselves. So I say, fuck you if you can't take a joke. You didn't see the Beverly Hillbillies being protested by white folks. And if you think, that course you think, that being called African-American sets all black people's minds at ease, since we affectionately call each other nigger, I affectionately say to you, nigger, please. Get a chance to vote on who I'd like to be. Who gave you the right to make that decision for me? I ain't under your rule or in your dominion, and I'm entitled to my own opinion. Now, there are some African Americans here, but they recently moved here from places like Kenya, Ethiopia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Zaire. But not a brother whose family's lived in this country for generations, occupying space in all the locations, New York, Miami, LA, Detroit, Chicago, even if he's wearing a dashiki and sporting an afro. And if you go to Africa in search of your race, you'll find out quick you're not an African-American. You're just a black American in Africa taking up space. Why you keep trying to attach yourself to a continent where even if you got the chance to go and you went, most people there wouldn't even claim you as one of them, as a purebred daughter or son of them. Your heritage is right here now, no matter what you call yourself or what you say. And a lot of people died to make it that way. And if you think America's the leader on inequality and suffering and grieving, how come there's so many people coming and so few leaving? Rather than all this fine thought with America shit you promoting, if you want to change something, use your privilege. Get to the polls. Come and support them. God knows we've earned the right to be called American Americans and be free at last. And rather than you moving forward with progress, you're dwelling in the past. We struggled too long. We've come too far. So the folks that know who we were, let's be proud of who we are. We're the only people whose name is always a trend. When is this shit going to end? Look at all the different colors of our skin. Black is not our color, it's our core. It's what we've been living and fighting and dying for. But if you choose to be called African-American and that's your preference, then I give you that reference. But I know on this issue I don't stand alone on my own. And if I do, then let me be me. And I'd appreciate it if when you see me, you say, there goes a man who says it loud. I'm black. I'm black. I'm a black American and I'm proud. Because I love being an American. And I love being black. I love being called black. Yeah, I said it. And I don't take it back.
Yeah. Like I said, when I first heard that, man, I was like, because I've been a brother who has loved Africa for quite a long time. When I made the decision to change my name back in 92, and even before then. So, but anyway, hope to see you on Friday. Hope that you can be with us on Friday as we continue to celebrate our sisters. This is their month, and continue to bring information that will put something on our minds, on our African minds. We are an African people. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Before it means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day and be safe. Hope to see you back here on Friday.